Matthew chapter 11, we'll begin reading with verse 25, read down to verse number 30 as kind of a starting point, kind of a text for us tonight. 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We want to preach tonight on the freeness of salvation. What Baptists believe about the freeness of salvation. What I'm going to preach tonight is the truth. I have no reservations in saying that. These things are according to truth. Everything we're going to look at tonight in the message has a counterpoint to it. And I'm not going to spend any time looking at the counterpoints. I'm not going to spend any time saying what the Bible says on one hand and kind of making it null and void by saying something in attachment to it. Somewhere along the line, we Baptists, we Sovereign Grace Baptists, decided we can't preach the truth. We can't preach what the Bible plainly says without including some kind of a counter qualifier. We can't preach, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, without saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, but you know you really can't believe. Somewhere along the lines we have, I think, weakened the teaching of Scripture by thinking we have to qualify everything we say by some other doctrine. Here in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, first thing we see in regards to the freeness of salvation is that Jesus saves all. Jesus saves all that come unto him by the gospel. He saves all. Salvation is free, and salvation is offered to all. And in the preaching of the gospel, all are called to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. This 28th verse, Jesus himself says, come unto me all. Now we can qualify that. We can spend time limiting that. Or we can just look at it on face value. Believe what Jesus said. Come unto me all. Ye that are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. All can come. And he'll not reject any. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I declare unto you the gospel. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, the gospel which you received, the gospel by which you are saved." It's through the preaching of the gospel that any or all can be saved. It's through the preaching of the gospel that we understand that whosoever will may come, can come and be received through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah chapter 55, I don't think it's necessarily directly a salvation passage in the text before us, but it's used that way. And in verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." There is a message there that's consistent with all of Scripture. Everyone that thirst may come. Everyone that thirst may come, and everyone that thirst may come, and they will find satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 17. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." I see the Spirit here as the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit invites men and women to Christ. The Holy Spirit invites people to come to Christ. The bride, of course, is the Lord's church. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite people to Christ. Invite people to come. Let those that hear can be seen as referring to the saved in general. And the saved in general invite others to come to Christ. So the Spirit says, come. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ says, come. The saved people who are upon the earth at any given time, they say, come. Let all those that are athirst come, and whosoever will, let them take of the water of life freely. Salvation is offered to all. Salvation is offered freely to all who will come to Christ by the message of the gospel. Everybody who is here this night without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is invited to come. And salvation is offered freely. And God provides salvation through His Son. The sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, let them come. Take of the water of life freely. So we believe in the freeness of salvation. And Jesus saves all those that come unto Him by the gospel. The question that I want to ask now, though, is what are you going to do with that? So I told you last week, we're going to look at these articles, the next few articles, not in an article format, but more as an outline type of a lesson or message. First point tonight is that Jesus saves all those that will come unto Him by the gospel. The second point tonight is, what are you going to do with that? Salvation is offered, and it is free to all that will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what are you going to do with that? I've said recently several times, you're going to receive no pressure. You're not going to be cornered. You're not going to be talked into anything. But we are going to consistently and continually lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to call you to come. We are going to invite you. We are going to encourage you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. And we are going to lift up Jesus Christ and therefore make you responsible and make you accountable before God for having heard the message of the gospel and standing responsible from now on to do something with that. What are you going to do with that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved is the promise of Scripture. Okay, you're unsaved. What are you going to do with that? It is the immediate duty, and we believe it is the immediate duty of all sinners to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You stand before God responsible. You stand before God accountable. You stand before God with the duty to receive that which He offers freely. Jesus saves all those that come unto Him by the gospel. It is the duty, it is the responsibility of the sinner to hear that and to respond to that, to receive Jesus Christ. And you are responsible. And you are accountable to God in that regard. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel. The Him there is God. It says, now to Him, you'll pick up who that is referring to in verse 27 where you find to God. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations. Why made known unto all nations? For the obedience of faith. God has brought forth the mystery of salvation, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Jesus Christ, and He's brought it forth to make men responsible to believe, to exercise faith in His Son, to the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, after John the Baptist is put into prison, comes into Galilee preaching the gospel, saying in verse 15, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel." Jesus Christ preached, "Repent and believe the gospel." It's time to hear. It's time for you to obey. It's time for you to heed my warning, my call, my invitation to be saved. Man was responsible. Everybody who heard Jesus Christ's preaching and teaching was responsible. Of course, they didn't respond, though, did they? Many refused. And we can't get into all the ifs, ands, and buts and the reasons for that. But they were responsible. In Romans chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel because it was the power of God unto salvation. The gospel was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Paul preached the gospel because it was the power of God, and because it resulted in the salvation of all those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So salvation is free, and salvation is offered to all. Jesus saves all those that will come unto him, and all are called to come unto him. And the question that I ask is, what are you going to do with that? Will you come? Will you receive Christ? Will you heed? Will you submit to that invitation? Third thing we want to consider tonight is that there is nothing preventing the salvation of the worst of all sinners other than their own depravity and their voluntary rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All who come will be saved. Jesus saves all those that come unto him. You're responsible, you're duty-bound to heed that invitation and to come to Christ believing that He died upon the cross for your sins. And if you come believing that He died upon the cross for your sins, He's going to save your soul. And there's nothing preventing you from being saved tonight. There's no obstacle. There's no reason why you can't be saved tonight. The only thing that hinders you from being saved, you're heeding this invitation that Christ Himself put forth during His personal ministry. The only thing that keeps you from being saved is your own depravity and your voluntary rejection of the invitation. All have sinned. All come short. All are sinners. Man is naturally depraved. And it's that depravity that will keep one from coming to Christ. Whatever you want to call it. And the only thing that keeps you from being saved tonight is your voluntary rejection of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves all those that will come unto Him by His gospel. You are called to obey that gospel. It is your immediate duty tonight to heed that invitation and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't heed that invitation and you do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's because of your own sinfulness, and it is an act of your voluntarily rejecting the invitation. You can't blame God, you can't blame man, you can't blame anybody else. If you're here and you're lost and you're here again, you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're told He offers salvation to you if you come. If you go out of here lost, you have nobody to blame but yourself. It is a voluntary rejection of Christ when one hears the gospel and refuses it. And they bear that responsibility themselves. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, just a simple little verse. After telling them to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus said to them in John 5, verse 40, "You will not come to me. You will not come to me that you might have life." Where was the problem? The problem was upon those who heard the call, who'd searched the scriptures, who were called to salvation. The problem was with their innate and their inherent depravity and their voluntary rejection of Jesus Christ. "You will not come to me that you might have life." In Matthew chapter 23, words of Jesus Christ here. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings, How often would I have gathered you together? Notice those sad words, the last of verse 37. And ye would not. He's weeping over Jerusalem, pronouncing their rejection, pronouncing the coming judgment of God upon them for their refusing Jesus Christ. And some have said that the population at the time of Jesus Christ of Jerusalem could have been somewhere around 1 million. 600,000 plus. And Jesus Christ is pronouncing judgment upon them for having rejected him, knowing that that pronouncement of judgment meant probably 35 to 40 years from this moment, Jerusalem would be destroyed. And most of those people that made up the population of Jerusalem would die. The Lord knew that, and he wept over them. And he wept because he would, how often he would have gathered them together, but they would not. Jesus saves all those that come. He will save all those that come unto him by the gospel. What are you going to do with that? Do you see your responsibility, your immediate duty to receive Jesus Christ? There's nothing preventing the salvation of your soul, no matter how worst case you might consider your spiritual condition, your sinfulness. There's nothing that prevents the salvation of the worst of all sinners but their depravity and their voluntary rejection of Jesus Christ. Each one bears their own sin. Each one bears their own accountability. When they hear, come unto me, and they voluntarily refuse to come, and they would, as we would envision it, turn and walk away from Jesus Christ. John chapter 3. Jesus saves all those that come unto him by the gospel. All men are immediately responsible, duty-bound to receive Christ, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and heed the message. Nothing prevents their salvation but their depravity and the rejection of the gospel itself. And that rejection involves them in what is called in our articles of faith. That rejection of Jesus Christ involves them in an aggravated condemnation. An aggravated condemnation. I was looking at that. Aggravated condemnation. So I went to the professor, went to the attorney and asked him if he had any idea what that word aggravated would mean legally. It seems like when the term aggravated is added to an offense or a crime, it simply means it's a worse case. It's worse than just the ordinary violation. And so in this terminology of this article of faith concerning the freeness of salvation, nothing prevents the salvation of the worst of all sinners but their voluntary rejection, their voluntary rejection of Jesus Christ, their voluntary rejection of the salvation that God offers. And that rejection involves them not just in a condemnation, they're already condemned, but in an aggravated condemnation, a worse kind of condemnation. John chapter 3, we know this passage well as the Lord was dealing with Nicodemus. And in John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, Jesus speaking says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believes in the Son, he that believes in me," Jesus could say, "is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I always think of that as you don't have to do anything to be condemned before God. You are condemned before God as an unconverted sinner. You have to believe to be uncondemned or not condemned. You don't have to do anything to be condemned. You're already condemned because of your unbelief and you're not believing in the name. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. A person's rejection of Jesus Christ, rejection of the salvation that he offers, involves them not in a condemnation because they're already condemned, but involves them in an aggravated condemnation, a worse kind of condemnation because they rejected Jesus Christ. Whether it makes sense or not, it makes sense to me. It makes the terrible situation one is in without Christ worse. Makes the accountability, the responsibility, the judgment of God, the condemnation that they're under, it makes it worse. When they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is freely offered to all, and they reject that. I think we see this in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 20 through 24. Listen to hear this passage of Scripture now concerning that thought. By rejecting Jesus Christ, by rejecting salvation, it involves the individual in an aggravated condemnation, a worse condemnation than they're already under. "Then began he," verse 20, "to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done." Why did he upbraid these cities? He upbraided these cities. He went back and upbraided these cities because they repented not. They were suffering the consequences of not repenting. They were suffering the consequences of not receiving, of not responding to the invitation of salvation. He upbraided them because they did not repent. But read on now the next three verses. "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." He upbraided these places because he had been there. He had preached. He had invited. He had called men to receive. He had offered salvation freely. And because they rejected it, he pronounces a more severe judgment upon them than they may have already been under. And I find it most significant, like in Capernaum in verse number 23, because they rejected Jesus Christ, because they did not repent, it was going to be worse for them than Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know how wicked they were, and we know what the judgment of God was upon Sodom and Gomorrah there in Genesis. God destroyed them. But there seems to be implied here that that was a judgment that is also going to be followed up by an accountability and a judgment before God in the day of judgment, verse 24 speaks of. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for Capernaum, because there I offered salvation, there I preached, repent, and believe, there I did miracles, there I gave you evidence, and you rejected me. That certainly has to be what is involved in an aggravated condemnation. 2 Thessalonians also, I think, speaks of this, or speaks to this. Second Thessalonians, chapter 1. Verse 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Notice this language. And remind yourself, when God says something in the Bible, God means it. God does not exaggerate. God does not say things that are irrelevant or unimportant. To you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. Upon who? There's coming a day when the angels of God are going to take fiery vengeance upon all those that know not God. Much more than that. Upon those that know not God and upon those that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. This is what we believe the Bible teaches about the freeness of salvation. Jesus saves all, whosoever will may come. Jesus saves all those that come unto him by his gospel. And every sinner is duty bound to do something with that, to come to Christ. The only thing that can keep one from coming is their depravity and their voluntary rejection of that salvation, a willful act on their part. And that rejection involves them in an aggravated condemnation, an aggravated accountability, an aggravated judgment of God upon them for not receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Who needs to be saved? Everyone needs to be saved. Has God provided for salvation? Yes, God has provided for salvation in sending his Son, and in his Son coming and dying and being buried and rising again. Salvation is offered to all. Does God mean that? Does God really offer salvation to all? He does offer salvation to all who will come. And if you come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved is the promise of Scripture. It's the promise of God. Salvation is offered free and freely to all those that will come. And everybody here who is without the Lord Jesus Christ is responsible to do something with that free salvation that is offered to all. What prevents your salvation? Your sinfulness and your voluntary rejection of Jesus Christ. Stop rejecting. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be freely saved and completely saved. And as we close tonight, you have no greater need. You have no greater need other than receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's stand together.